Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. This week on the show, we'll preview the Commonwealth Youth Games, which kick off in the Bahamas next week, and talk to Team General Manager, 3-time Commonwealth Games gold medalist and 13-time Paralympic champion, Matt Cowdery. But before Matt joins us, and as we count down with just 36 Fridays to go, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Sally Pearson has made a spectacular return to form with her quickest run since winning gold at the 2012 Olympic Games. The reigning Commonwealth Games champion clocked 12.48 to finish a close second behind world record holder Kendra Harrison at the Diamond League in London. Pearson was one of a string of impressive Australian performances, with personal best results to Patrick Tiernan and Sam McAtee in the 3,000 metres, Lyndon Hall in the women's mile, and Kelsey Lee Roberts in the javelin. Victorian long jumper Brooke Stratton posted her first World Champs qualifier in the long jump. Our best athletes return to London from the 4th of August for the world titles. Meanwhile, London is also calling for our para-athletes, with the World Para-Athletics Championships starting tonight. With 37-strong Australian team features wheelchair star Kurt Fernley, with 16-year-old reigning 100 and 200-metre world sprint champion Isis Holt, one of 7 Australians who are defending titles in London. In hockey, the Kookaburras kicked off their World League Series semi-finals campaign against France, coming back from 2-0 down to win 3-2. The Kookaburras took on Spain in Game 2, notching a 2-0 win, with Game 3 against New Zealand on Saturday. Trap shooter James Willett maintained his red-hot form on the weekend as he claimed victory in the third Commonwealth Games double trap shooting qualifier in Queensland. The victory comes after Willett triumphed in the trap discipline at an international Grand Prix meeting in Pennsylvania last month. The win puts the Victorian shooter on target, see what we did there, to qualify for the Games. Willett leads the selection race with just 2 more qualifying events to go. In triathlon, the battle for spots on the Gold Coast team heats up again this weekend at the World Triathlon Series race in Spain. The event doubles as a Commonwealth Games selection event. Ashley Gentle in the women and Jake Birtwistle in the men have already secured the first 2 nominations to Commonwealth Games Australia. In the race in Spain, the first Australian in the top 10 across the line secures a Games nomination. Australia will also line up in Sunday's ITU Triathlon Mixed Relay World Championships, an event that will feature on the Gold Coast and has also been added to the Olympic program for Tokyo. In cycling, a shout-out to Richie Porte, who suffered a horrific fall at the Tour de France, which forced him out of the race. Meanwhile, Western Australian Ben O'Connor snared his first professional victory at the Tour of Austria, a race where Cadel Evans first made his name on the roads in Europe. In Canberra's Chloe Hosking came within millimetres of a stage win in the Women's Tour of Italy, with a photo having to decide the result. And finally, here's some sensational news for Queensland school kids. Queensland state schools will get an extra day off of holidays next year following the Commonwealth Games. The school term won't start until Tuesday the 17th of April instead of on the Monday. The reason? Not so kids can stay up late to watch the closing ceremony, but they need to wait to get their school buses back, as they'll be used to ferry athletes and spectators to and from the ceremony. That's this week's Commonwealth Games News in Brief. Now it's time for our Gold Coast Gold feature interview. Australia's most successful ever Paralympian and Commonwealth Youth Games team general manager, Matt Cowdery. Matty, thanks for your time. In fact, you're at Brisbane Airport on your way down to the team holding camp before the team goes to the Bahamas. An exciting time, isn't it, for all those young athletes that are starting their international careers at the Commonwealth Youth Games?
It is. It's a hugely exciting time, really, to now start to have a few of the athletes trickle in and start to get to know each other here at the airport before we head down. But it's an important stage where we get the team together before we start to head overseas.
Can you remember when you were a young athlete like that, full of excitement and wide-eyed at what was about to occur?
I'm always pretty excited, but no, I do remember my first ever trip, actually. It was a little bit of a rough one, the first international trip. We went away to Manchester and swam 24 hours after arriving. So that was a pretty cool welcome to international sport, but it's certainly something that helped me in good stead and learn a few lessons from along the way.
You were born without your left arm below the elbow, and as we spoke to Millie Tapper last week and Kurt Fernley, it's fantastic that we've got our para-athletes fully integrated into the Australian team for the Gold Coast. How did you get into swimming? Why was it swimming that that took your fancy as a young kid?
Well, it's funny, it wasn't really the sport that I got into early on. Not having the arm, my parents thought it'd be a great idea to get me into sports that didn't involve arms. So I did a little athletics for a while and played soccer, and we had a backyard pool. And really, I started just for water safety more than anything. And through those other sports, I never found anything that I really enjoyed too much or had a great natural knack for. And swimming was something that I very quickly moved forward and found a couple of good coaches. And before I knew it, at 13, I was starting to swim some pretty competitive times. So it was more of something I fell into than really put a considered effort into.
And how did the world of elite sport and Paralympic sport come to your attention?
Well, I never even really knew about Paralympic sport until sitting at home as a 11-year-old kid watching the Olympic Games. There was a demonstration event with Louise Savage during the middle of the Olympic Games, and they mentioned that a couple of weeks later there'd be something called the Paralympics televised, not on Channel 7, but on Channel 2, and that there'd be different games and something to look out for and watch. And I remember 2 weeks later sitting and watching the Paralympics for the first time and was sort of in awe of what it was, and at that point realised that there was a pathway for me to take sport further than I probably ever imagined.
And so fast forward to the next games in Athens, you're just 15 and you turn up and all of a sudden you've got some gold medals hanging around your neck.
It did happen reasonably quickly. I probably, as an 11-year-old, didn't realistically think I'd be at the very next games, but I was one of the last picked on the swimming team for Athens. As you said, I was 15. I went in with no real expectations and was pretty lucky to have some considerable improvement over the time between the selection trials and the games later on in September. So it was something that was an experience that I could never have dreamed of. I managed to have my coach, personal coach, there with me during the Athens games as well, which made it that little bit sweeter. But really, to be honest, I probably didn't fully understand or I guess appreciate what I'd done at the time. And it's only been years later that you sit back and go, as a 15-year-old, I really got to do some pretty exciting and special things.
We could go through each of those 13 Paralympic gold medals, 23 in total, although we'd be here for until the games themselves. Three gold in 2004, five in 2008, and five again in London. You must have never been able to imagine that was going to be where your career ended. When you were such a young athlete thinking, well, you know, I'll just go and swim. And all of a sudden, you know, you end a career with 13 gold and 23 medals in total.
No, I don't think anybody enters a career in sport and puts a number or, a target on the number of medals or results that they want to achieve. For me, it was always about just enjoying the sport and enjoying the swimming side of things, but also the team and what you were doing from a broader perspective. So to look back on it now, I was lucky to do what I did for as long as I did and enjoyed every second of it. But at the same time, there was special moments along the way that you got to share with family, which was most important. And for me, my folks only got to go over and see me compete at an international event twice, really. first was the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne in 2006. And then they got over to London for the last Olympic gold medal, the 100 freestyle. So that was pretty special to have them there and share that moment with them as well.
You mentioned the Commonwealth Games. Your first one was in Melbourne, two golds there, world records in the 50 and the 100, and gold in Delhi, and then silver in Glasgow, which was your last international meet at that sort of level. Was there a thought to go on to the Gold Coast? How hard was it to decide that 2014 was it and another home games wasn't going to be a possibility?
It's an interesting question and one that I've sort of been asked a number of times now. But for me, I was just at that point where I knew that I'd done everything that I wanted to do and achieve in the sport. And I'm not somebody that likes to go at something at 50 or 90%. It has to be 100%. And I knew that I wasn't in the position to be able to keep doing that. So the decision was actually quite easy. And I'd reached that point in my life where I wanted to branch out and try a few different things and really move my career in other aspects. So it was actually quite an easy decision to walk away at that stage, knowing I'd achieved what I had, and I haven't looked back since.
No, well, let's dive into that. It's not, I love talking to our athletes that are doing other things in their life and in their career. Was part of the reason the invitation to be the team general manager for the Commonwealth Youth Games team to Samoa in 2015 and a career path in the administration of sport rather than just in the competitive side?
It wasn't at the time. I certainly hadn't been asked about the role prior to retiring or anything like that. I guess for me, my parents right the way through my career had always made sure that academics was just as important and as what I was doing in the pool. So I did a law degree and did a media degree while I was training and swimming and competing, and started with KPMG in their management consulting group while I was still swimming as well. So I had sort of had that pathway outside of sport already there, but to move out and to really sink my teeth into the corporate world was good fun. And this opportunity was something that I was approached to do and something that I could definitely not say no to have the opportunity to shape the future careers of so many young athletes and to I guess start to build some credibility in sport management as well is a great thing and something I really enjoy.
So you're following in the footsteps of Petrea Thomas, who was the team general manager at the Bendigo edition of the Youth Games and Pune and then Isle of Man. They go to some pretty incredible places. Rob Cabas, the great Australian weightlifter, was the team general manager at the inaugural Games. And, of course, Steve Monoghetti is the chef de mission of the Commonwealth Games team. So some big names there. What did you learn from your first experience as a boss of a group of young kids going to an international competition?
I think more than anything, the resilience and how well we train our younger athletes to cope with whatever's put in front of them is something that we shouldn't overlook here in Australia. I think at many points there's a perception that sometimes our younger athletes are now given a bit of a silver spoon on the way through and they're looked after quite well, but these games are always something quite different. So there's a purposeful choice with the Youth Commonwealth Games to hold them in countries and cities that wouldn't be in a position to normally hold a main game. So usually there's a range of factors that go along with that, and that can sometimes mean that the facilities or the accommodation or the transport aren't quite to what you'd expect at a main games. But our guys have been quite incredible in the way that they've approached each and every opportunity that they've gotten, particularly last time in Samoa, and even their willingness to want to give back to the local community and donate things and their time to really start to change and broaden their experience both from a sporting perspective but also as young adults and young leaders in our community.
And you've got Petrea along for the ride this time, but also a special Games Athlete Services Ambassador / Motivator in Olympic gold medalist Kerry Pothas, which is a winner for the young kids.
Absolutely. No, we've got some really experienced old heads as part of the team this time round, which is great. Our beach volleyball guys obviously have a great leader in Kerry, and the swimming team certainly take everything they can from Pretoria. They're both great ambassadors for their respective sports and for our country and the Commonwealth Games movement. So I'm certainly very lucky to have a very experienced and very well-rounded group of people that are helping to manage this team.
I can tell you that Kerry was at the World University Games in 2015 as a team ambassador and did a sensational job, and so much knowledge about performance, and her story about her and Natalie Cook and how they won the gold medal in Sydney is never gets tired, that's for sure. Tell us a little bit about the Australian team for the Commonwealth Youth Games. Kicks off next Wednesday. I guess you wouldn't know. There's 75 athletes in the Australian team. You would not know most of them, I guess, other than maybe a few of the swimmers that you come across.
That's right. Well, that's the exciting thing about each of these teams is it's a new bunch of kids that are coming through each and every time we go away and getting to know and understand where they're coming from and what they're planning to do and their ambitions in sport is always fun each and every time. But we've got a great group this time as we did last time, and it's always good to have a few interesting and different sports involved. And as I said previously, the youth games are a little bit different in their approach, and in a similar way, the sports are involved changes slightly each and every time as well. And for Samoa, we had the lawn bowlers involved, which was fantastic, and a great group of kids. And this time we've got judo and cycling for the first time in a couple of games. So every time there's a slightly different mix, but also great to have these kids and to see their experiences.
So athletes from 14 to 18, athletics, beach volleyball, boxing, cycling, judo, rugby sevens and swimming are the sports on the program. What's the lead up to the games? Obviously, you're in Brisbane now, team processing and assembly on the Gold Coast. And when do you leave, and what are you expecting in the, I'll just say this slowly, the Bahamas? I'm in Melbourne. You've just come from Adelaide. We're freezing, it's cold, it's raining, and you're going to the Bahamas.
No, we have got very lucky over the last couple of games to go to some warm environments that people have certainly appreciated. But for the first time, we've brought the athletes into a pre-games camp for this youth game. So I think that's a great thing for sports, particularly like rugby sevens that don't often have a chance to train together. So the opportunity to have the whole team together before we fly, obviously this time a little bit further away than majority of these athletes have ever travelled. I'm just talking to a couple of teams, a couple of the team members this morning already, and their furthest flights involved New Zealand and one was Newcastle. So there's a few that are going to experience something a little bit different in terms of an international travel and being able to compete two or three days after arriving in a country that far away. But something I think these guys will relish the challenge of.
And how distractions, I would imagine, in the Bahamas is going to be an issue for everybody because it's exotic. The weather will be magnificent. Beaches, totally different. How do you prepare the kids for that sort of, you know, which is not too dissimilar to the distractions in a big games where you've got the village and all of the other things that go along. How are you preparing the kids for what they might expect?
Well, I think knowledge is the best thing, and the understanding that these are the sorts of challenges and distractions that you're going to face at a main games in a couple of years. And to be completely frank, these guys are here to compete, and they certainly understand that and acknowledge that. And that's something that I think everybody would be pleasantly surprised in the professionalism that comes with being an athlete at 15 to 16 to 17 years old now. People certainly understand and appreciate the opportunity that they've been given to represent Australia, and they do that to their utmost ability. So making sure we reiterate those messages and that they understand that they're here to compete is certainly something that I'm not sure will be lost on them.
As you know, as you go through your career, the result becomes the most important thing. First of all, is just getting on the team and then, you know, achieving your goal, whether it's to be in the final, to swim a personal best or run a personal best, or to be on the podium, win the gold medal. Is the medal tally important at this championship for the Australian team?
Less so than in the main games. Obviously, as Australians and as part of the Commonwealth Games movement, we certainly like to finish on the top of the medal tally, but we don't set that expectations, and nor do we set an expectation on the number of medals. It truly is more than, I guess, a cliche to say that everybody's here for the experience and for the reward of being here and representing their country. And to me, it's you've got to really approach these games as a stepping stone to something bigger. If we look back at the Samoan team, we've got a number that are in line to make their international debuts at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games next year. So it's understanding that it's a step in a pathway to a bigger thing, but to have an experience of a multi-game event, a multi-sport event on this sort of scale, is something that's very rare for our athletes of that age to be able to have that exposure to. So by no means do we try and hide that. It's something that's great for their own personal development, and our ambition is certainly just to blood them and let them understand that there's time in the future to lift your eyes to the main teams and something bigger.
Absolutely right to approach, I reckon. And when you look at the list of athletes that have been to the Commonwealth Youth Games, just a few: Sally Pearson, of course, the reigning 100-metre hurdles gold medalist; Jodie Henry, Olympic champion in swimming; Chloe Esposito was in shooting in 2008 in the edition in Pune, and of course went on to win the Olympic gold medal in the modern pentathlon in Rio. So just a long list of Australian athletes that have been there and done that. I just want to go back to your comment about, you know, having a career outside of your sport when you were competing. Obviously a lot of these young kids, you know, still at school, and your experiences from having not just being a full-time athlete, I would imagine, is something you want to get across to these young athletes, to be have a rounded career that, you know, when you finish, you're 28, so, you know, retiring relatively young age, but a long career from 15 to 28. Important not to finish, hang up the goggles and go, okay, what I'm going to do next, there's nothing for me.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that's been become abundantly clear over the last couple of years, that pathways outside of sport are just so important, and understanding that you're in sport for a finite period of time and you've obviously got to make the most of that, and from your perspective be doing everything you possibly can to get the most out of you, both yourself from a performance perspective. But I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. For me particularly, I certainly found studying and working outside of the expectation of elite sport to be a great thing. And gave me something else to, if swimming or the sports side wasn't going as well as I would have liked, there was always something else to keep your mind occupied and to do during the day. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, and I think the two go hand in hand quite well. And I mean, you're talking about ultra competitive people, and to put their that to use in other aspects is also a good thing. And I'm sure that we'll get some people that go into great things outside of the pool through these experiences and games as well.
You've decided to, after the rough and tumble of international sport, to throw your hat into the ring for the rough and tumble of politics, which is brave, I have to say, standing as the Liberal member for Colton in the 2018 South Australian state election. Obviously, this has been, politics is something that's been of great interest to you for some time. You don't do this unless you're interested in that element of life.
Absolutely not. And it's definitely something that I've worked towards for a little while, but something that I think you believe is a great opportunity to be able to put your hand up and potentially represent your local community. And it's something that's pretty important in terms of my journey in politics, I guess. As part of my swimming side, at times I tried to take a couple of breaks away, and during one of those I actually went over and did a fellowship with a US congresswoman in Washington DC for 3 or 4 months, a lady by the name of Ileana Ross-Layton, who was currently about to retire, but the longest serving Republican woman in the House of Congress, and chaired the Foreign Affairs Committee for a number of years as well. And I've always just had an interest in representing my community. That's something that I think I did through my sporting side as well. But in South Australia at the moment, we've faced with a few issues and problems in terms of the direction of where our state's going. And really, I've put my hand up to try and play a part in getting our state back on track and making sure that we leave a prosperous future for our children and the next generation of South Australians.
Most of our listeners won't be into politics, but for those that are, Colton's like the Eden Monero. It's the bellwether seat in South Australia. If you win that seat, generally they win the election. So a big task for you there. Just the internship in the US Congress. Obama was president at the time. hadn't got to the stage of Donald Trump yet. Must have been a fascinating experience to be in the epicenter of world politics and power.
It truly was a once in a lifetime experience, to be completely frank. And through part of that, I actually also got the opportunity to sit in on the State of the Union that President Obama delivered during that time while I was there. So the opportunities that came from being over there were immense, and just the network and people that you met over there, and the good work that was being done from an office level of people that were so committed to doing what they could to move the country forward. It was inspiring in many ways to see. And as much as you hear about the nuts and bolts and the big news stories about big and ugly Washington, D.C., if you peel that layer back, there's some great people there for the right reasons, doing great things for each of their communities. So I certainly appreciated seeing the other side of the U.S. Capitol as well.
So you were in the room for the State of the Union address. Was it Obama's last one?
No, he still had a couple to go. It was back in 2013, so a number of years ago. I think the first after his first of his second term, but certainly an experience. And the orator that he is, he speaks so well and so with such passion each and every time. And I think that's one thing that may be slightly missing from politics in Australia at the moment, is somebody that can present and tell a narrative in a compelling and interesting way.
You spend more time on your feet at those things, don't you? Everyone, the president reads out a sentence and everyone leaps to their feet to applaud.
Up and down, that's how it works.
Oh, very good. So what's the plan from now? You head down from the airport to Runaway Bay, where the rest of the kids are. When do you get on the plane to the Bahamas?
That's right. So we're heading down. I'm just waiting for the group of the Melbourne athletes to come in. We'll head down, assemble the whole team together by mid-afternoon this afternoon. We'll have a couple of training sessions for each of the sports. We'll get the kids out with their uniforms, which will be great to see. It's obviously a huge thing as a young athlete to be presented with an Australian uniform and the excitement that comes along with that. But at the same time, we're going to try and start moving some body clocks towards the right direction over the next couple of days as well. We fly out on Sunday morning, arrive Sunday evening Bahaman time, which I'm sure is a little slower than it is over here potentially. And then get into the mix of things through the next couple of days. We've got an event in the Bahamas as well for the parents that have come over, which I think is a good thing as well, to recognise their contributions and in efforts in supporting their athletes as well.
Good stuff. And then competition kicks off on Wednesday. Wednesday to through to the weekend. So we're actually going to talk to a couple of the young athletes. Don't know who they are yet, because we're going to wait to see how the storylines unfold over the competition. But next week on Gold Coast Gold, we're going to go straight to the Bahamas. I wish I could say I'm going live to the Bahamas to do it, but no, we're going to talk to some athletes who are in the Bahamas, some of our young athletes from the Commonwealth Youth Games, and check in on their experiences. Hey, Matty, I'll let you go because you're at the airport, you're waiting for these kids, you've been on the phone for a while, so thanks for your time, and really enjoy what is about to unfold at the Commonwealth Youth Games over the next week.
I certainly will, and certainly hope that the kids do as well. It's going to be a great experience for everyone, and look forward to seeing some good results and hopefully chatting to some very successful young athletes next week.
No worries. Matt Cowdery there, the team general manager and our greatest ever Paralympic gold medal and medal winner. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, and of course over the next week, our Australian team at the Commonwealth Youth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.